You do also have the downside. The flip side is that if you're the one driving, you're the one who's going to have puke out the side of your car.
No, because I had to go back home to Jersey.
Okay, you weren't driving anybody else.
No, just myself.
Just okay, because I know. I know that as soon as you get on the highway and all you hear is that, and it's like, oh fuck,
yep.
Can I get to the side of the road? No, just put the window down. We'll wash it off tomorrow.
Because I've had to drive drunk people in my, not this particular car, but previous cars of mine before.
And, yeah.
It turned into, hey, can you swing me $50 since you puked on my floor?
We did a meetup of all my fraternity brothers in Johnstown. It was just supposed to be me and my buddy James. And as a surprise, he brought a few other people in, and they hadn't seen me in so long, and they still were, they're about 3 years younger than me, and they all have that frat house mentality. Went to the grimiest, like, dirty corner bar in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, where you can smoke their cigarette butts on the floor, and the bartender said, hey, if I'm not here, just go and grab a beer and tell me what you grab behind the bar. We're talking old school. So my buddy starts buying Jaeger bombs, and he's got one of those things
testing
where once
production,
he starts,
Mike, testing
he doesn't
production,
stop.
Mike.
So he's basically just chugging these down. I'm just drinking a bunch of beers, and I'm feeling pretty shitty. Like, I'm pretty fucked up. I look over. Bro is slumped, just down, just out. And his girlfriend has to pick him up with mine and James's help because he's a big dude. Haul him into his own car that he just bought, and James, the only sober person-ish in the room, drove the 3 minutes back to the house. Dude couldn't hold it for 3 minutes, puked all over the side of the brand new car. And I see him the next morning with just a coffee and ice pack and just like all like just like shriveled in the corner of the couch. So I'm just like, hey, buddy. He didn't regret a thing. That dude was absolutely vibing out of his fucking mind. Still crushed us at darts. Just had that like crunchy corner bar advantage, I guess. I've been to too many fancy, you know, gastropubs and bullshits.
Oh.
Yeah, we're almost ready to go.
All right.
Yeah. This is going to be so much better. Like, obviously, I like having Ted's cameras, but it's going to be so much nicer once I figure out a little HDMI camera that I can just mount where the studs are, and we don't have to go through this production to get started every single morning. Yeah, yeah. Set it up once, and then we're done. Climb in here, press a button.
May do with what you got,
yeah.
Too.
Well, I haven't had enough accoutrements on this table yet. And what are you looking for? Oh, you got to go through the touch screen.
Oh, it is touch screen. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So, everything's panels.
Yeah.
I can select the M for manual exposure.
It's going down in the lower right-hand corner for function.
I'm
going
to grab my water bottle off the table. You hear me?
All right, cool.
Oh, yeah, it's just going to be
that. All right. I'm going to take my chair. It's going to be over here. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Regular Friends with nice HDMI cameras now. I'm actually properly lit. And now we have all Shure SM48 microphones for you. And
oh my God, why do you have a wipe on?
Yeah, because I put a wipe on, because it has a wipe.
Yeah.
I'll wipe you. That's gonna be my new character on F List. It's going to be called Budget. My new character on F-List is going to be called Joey Butta Wipo. He cuts your dick off and wipes your ass. Joey Butta Wipo. Joey Butta Wipo. That was an insult we had on the school bus.
What?
Like we didn't... Because I'm old enough, like, that was news. Joey Butta Fuco. No, wait. He didn't get his dick cut off. That was...
You're thinking of Lorena
Bobbitt. Bobbitt, yeah. Joey Butta Fuco, I think, was some... I don't know. The people in the chat are probably yelling it out. Joey Butta Fuco, I think, was like some like evangelical preacher who, surprise, surprise, just like fucked a bunch of women. A bunch of women. Women.
Women's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's just a funny name to say. You stuck back there?
No, I got it.
All right. I had to climb under the table.
Yeah.
I know. Every day I find we've been live.
Oh my god.
That's the way you start a podcast. You just, once people are going, you just hit stream and then you're done. Yeah. Of course I didn't hit record yet. We can probably do that.
Do you record on this machine?
Right now. Yeah, you can hit record on
okay, we're rolling.
Yeah. Let me double check to make sure we're recording for. Actually, no, wait. I don't need to, because I can just download it off of YouTube, off the live thing. This is the free podcast for regular friends.
You don't want to grab YouTube's recompressed version, though.
Yeah, fuck it. I'll do it later. Like, I know with the ATEM, you can have a little hard drive that goes right into it and just record directly from that.
Yeah.
And that is obviously going to be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I need to find. That's what I need. So. So we're going to introduce everybody here.
I'm here.
I'm Brian. Yeah, come on, Mike.
Yeah. All right.
I'm Brian from Regular Car Reviews. This is Regular Friends. We need like a something to... Hey, you need friends? We'll be your regular friends.
I like that. Your variety rotating group of friendly individuals.
Yeah. And do we want this light on or no? Do we want this one?
You can try turning it on. It is dark back there, but I've got that thing black.
Does this change anything? Does it change the vibe?
It just makes the light blow out.
Oh.
No.
All right.
Nope.
Just turn one on.
Uno?
Yeah, there you go.
All right, there we go.
That is such a grandma sound.
Oh, I miss that.
Yeah.
Oh, that just sounds like dinner's ready.
Do we need... this house needs wind chimes, maybe. Doesn't, because I record in this house, so then you have that thing going on in the background all the time,
just like a little ambience, just a little bit of, like, you know, comfy wind blowing sounds like that, those, like, it's like that 10-hour, like, you know, rain sounds to put you to sleep, and it's just wind chimes in the back.
Yeah, it's like the vibe I want out of the Glen is to give you the vibe that you're trying to masturbate really, really quietly in grandma's house. You know, you're in the computer room in the other room and grandma's watching like Maury or something like that. Or she's watching The Price is Right or something like The Young and the Restless.
Oh God.
And you're downloading tits and dick, same individual. And off of VCL on a 56K modem, and you're using the three finger setup just ever so slowly, and then you're gonna bust into a tea towel, and for some reason the thrill of getting caught is gonna turn into a modern fetish for you. What?
Exhibitionism kink, 100%.
Yeah.
This is where it starts.
As long as I'm quieter than the TV, no one will notice.
Yeah.
Because you gotta be listening. The second you start hearing those commercials for, like, QVC, order online, see on TV, soaps, you're like,
yeah,
she could get up, she could be moving around.
Oh yeah, commercials for Mucinex. It's like, you either gotta stuff that shit back in your pants, or you gotta bust now. Like right now, by the second she shuffles her feet out of, you know, and then you have to do the math and think, is she going into the kitchen for more tea, or is she coming to check on you?
It's like a quick time event.
How's homework? Are you using do you like using Encyclopedia Britannica? No, wait, what's that? What's the thing that's on CD?
Encarta?
Oh, I haven't thought about that in a very long
time. Ted, you might want to move your mic closer. Like, if you want to chime in, I'm going to ask you to chime in.
But why?
Why not?
Well, you have a lot of experience.
We need more opinions.
Because we're going to get...
I assumed you've jerked off before. We could use some more input.
Yeah. Like, the amount of experience the guy behind the camera who's running the boards right now has. Oh, he's shaking his head. You're the most interesting person here.
Oh, my
and
God.
And you're behind.
I don't know about that.
I'd, like, okay.
But thank you.
When we do the paid version, like the paid version of this,
yeah,
where we're not on camera, we have the cameras turned off, but it's just audio, come over here to the bench because I want to hear your story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which one?
You know the one.
Oh, now I know even less what you mean.
You mean,
the story of how I became a full-time furry artist. Is that?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. Well, you've lived like two lives of simultaneously being this very skilled producer. You've worked for TV stations. You've taught this stuff in college. You've been a professor. Yeah. You've worked overseas. And you've also made a very lucrative living drawing dick for 10 years.
That's quite generous of you. Lucrative? Well, you know, it gets me by. I make enough. It's fine.
Yeah. It helps buy the bad dragons. Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. The important things in life.
Yeah. And okay, so introduce to stage right. Is that right? Stage right? I don't know.
Stage right. Yeah.
Jack. Jack is, what is your, do you have a position with Furrydelphia?
Yes, so I'm Jack of all corgs, punk rock corgi. For Furrydelphia, I am the city liaison and HR head. So city liaison is way more interesting. Nobody wants to hear about fucking HR. So city liaison, I basically go out and work with the businesses and the organizations around the city. Like I run the Manayunk Furry bar crawl. I help assist with Uproar, our late night dance event in the Gaborhood. And sort of just also talk with, you know, restaurants and bars, ask them, you know, hey, have you seen these giant fluffy animal people around? You know, what do you think?
Hard to mess.
Yeah. And just, you know, help them understand what furry is because, you know, one day everything's completely normal and the next you've got a 6'7" tall dragon that's purple and green walking into your restaurant asking for a beer and a pizza. And you're like, what the fuck is this?
What is this about? But also in your day life, you're a surgeon.
I'm not a surgeon. I help with surgery. The position is surgical neurophysiologist. Mm-hmm. I basically monitor the nervous system the same way anesthesia monitors like heart rate and blood pressure. And I just predict and prevent injury to the spinal cord, the brain, brainstem, peripheral nerves throughout the surgery.
Hmm. And joining us here at the far end of the couch...
Victor.
Is Victor. Tell us about yourself.
Not much. Automotive industry for the last like 5-6 years, working between German and EV brands.
You want to bring the mic closer to your mouth. Yeah.
I have and background.
And then Pulsar will fix it.
You're good.
As I'm chewing the microphone, making it sensuous for you. Come to Island. We'll make you look right. Island, a special kind of price. Come to. That's okay. There is this ophthalmologist in Schuylkill County and maybe Carbon County, Pennsylvania, called Island, and they had this insidious, like, Island Jamaica style Jimmy Buffett jingle. Where this person was singing about Island, but, you know, Island.
Yeah.
That's it. So you walk past Island, and there's a picture of a pair of glasses and then two palm trees.
But were you making it actually that horny, or did it sound that horny on, like, the TV?
Well, I don't know if it's appropriation or not, because ska bands do it, but they sung in, what's the term, pigeon English?
Patois.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That accent that we all can do, I don't know if we're supposed to do it.
Okay, fair enough.
Even though, shout out, like, a lot of my favorite ska bands, like, we're talking about the Slackers, they do it, and they've been doing it for, like, 20 years, and then that's okay. But I guess if it's in music, like, if you're actually performing the music, then fine.
Or you're grandfathered in from, you know, second wave ska way back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm gay. When you talked about being a city liaison, how do you introduce Furrydelphia to a business? Like, we'd like to use your business for X event. This is in your best interest.
Mm-hmm.
How do you broach the subject?
Like, break the ice?
Yeah, yeah.
best thing to do is just ask, like, what their experiences have been. Like, have they had positive experiences? Do they know what it is? Have they seen somebody in, like, a tail or a suit or, you know, basically finding out what their context is? And then just asking about their thoughts. Like, do you have any preconceived notions, you know, prejudices? In which case, okay, I will even go somewhere else. But thankfully, I've had maybe one or two negative interactions whenever I broached the subject. But once we actually started talking and I said, well, as somebody who's been in this fandom for, you know, since 2018 and found out about it in 2014, 2013, actually. Oh, my God. It's been over 10 years. I sort of just think about, you know, where the preconceived notions come from. Work with them to sort of be like, well, no, this, you know, maybe no, maybe yes, you know, and just basically try to get them to see the far more socially positive aspects of the fandom. Just reinforce the extremely good work that we do, the kind people. And one thing I actually really like to emphasize whenever I talk with these businesses is just the fact that if you have furries here, you're just going to get the most interesting group of people ever. People from every business, every country, every continent here, and they'll come to you. You don't need to seek these people out. They'll come here. They can teach you a lot. They can, you know, bring a vibrancy to your space. And I obviously do tell them, yeah, furries have money to travel across the ocean with a $10,000 carpet.
Yes.
So it's also in your financial best interest. That's an honest conversation I have with them that says, yeah, if you allow us to use your space, it benefits both of us. And it usually costs you guys nothing. It's just, you know, tolerating some extremely odd people in very, very unusual costumes.
How do you explain the odd behavior to an owner of establishment?
Honestly, you just have to be forthcoming with it and say there are people who might be a bit, you know, are you talking about like people possibly on the spectrum or just socially awkward?
Yes. Or the people, gosh, the thing about hanging out with you guys is I know exactly who I'm talking about and you know exactly who I'm talking about. Someone who's totally cool. I'm happy when he's here. But he gets one drink in him and he gets very loud and he starts flailing around. Now, that's not really just furry behavior. I guess that's someone just
that could be
young.
Anybody. And that's the other. Well, to go off of that, what I tell them is, you know, this is not a convention space. You know, our convention ends at the door of the hotel. So we can't be personally responsible for our attendees' behavior here. But if there is an issue, you could at least, you know, talk to us about it, because I'd rather hear them out and hear about an issue and work with them rather than just have a negative interaction and then they just start forming those extremely, extremely negative connotations. Like, oh, I guess this is what furry is. I'm like, no, they're people. Inside the costumes and outside of this space, they're people. And some people can get a little bit too much in them and become a problem. But you know, if they just hear that we are, you know, receptive to their input and feedback and, you know, they just talk with us through it. Like, there's a business I had to smooth something out with regarding FD just this past year. And I went in there and very calmly and very honestly said, I just want to hear about your experiences and what went on. And I talked with the general manager. I talked with the security. And we just, it took less than 10 minutes to just smooth out this miscommunication, because that's what it is. It's all about communication. As long as you communicate, you can solve 99.9% of the world's problems.
Yeah.
It's just having that open dialogue and letting people know what you're thinking, what you're feeling, how you want to move forward, you know, and just addressing things. But it's the second you end that line of open dialogue and people just sit there and they stew and they start thinking things that maybe could be cleared up with just even just a quick text or a phone call, that's where the problems really start. It's all about communication.
How did you open lines of communication with the venue for Uproar?
So that was interesting, and I will say most of that conversation was held with between management there and Drain. He definitely led the charge on Uproar. I ended up talking more with the bartenders and staff about it and sort of seeing about how they felt and just if they wanted to participate in it, and it was immediately receptive. But as far as opening a dialogue, it's just like any other business that I would go to. I go, find usually a seat at the bar, order one drink to obviously be like, hey, I'm not just going to sit here and take up a space. Or I'll order food if I'm not in the mood for a drink. And then just ask them, hey, your venue is wonderful. We, you know, love the vibe, the environment here. We, you know, we have had attendees come and say they enjoyed this place. We want to form a closer relationship with you. Is there like a manager or owner, somebody that I could just have a conversation with?
Is that how things started with Uproar? Just a seat at the bar?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
We just sat down, got some good information off of one of the managers who was kind enough in the middle of a busier night to come up and speak with us. And it was, you know, gave us information, numbers, emails, and we basically just went from there. It was just that one, you know, very, very informative, open conversation about an interest in the venue, and we just, it became Uproar, which is happening in, whenever we're recording this, 2 weeks from now.
Yep, it'll be on the March 15th.
No, I'm going down to Furthermore next weekend, and it's the weekend after that, but yeah, yeah, that's crazy to think that, you know, how furry my weekends are becoming. It's just furry, you know, regular podcasts, and then we've got Furthermore, Uproar, it's just exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait for Uproar. And for people who are hearing about this for the first time, hey, Pulsar, do we have any super chats coming through on the computer?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not super familiar with the interface, but it doesn't look like it.
Okay. Is the chat going?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Do you want me to chime in with interesting chat comments?
Yeah, if anybody has something,
we love some
fun.
Yeah,
furries are generally a good sign. One person said, the video and audio are great. What an improvement, which is awesome. And then I realized I forgot to plug my camera into the V-mount battery, so it died, which is why the video went out for a second. But
Oops.
All right. That's why we have two.
Happens,
yeah.
Yeah. Don't piss furries. I heard they were on the internet. Don't piss them off.
Facts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll chat in with...
okay. And when we get to like 50 minutes or something like that, just let me know. What is our timestamp? How long have we been going?
17.
Oh, wow. Okay. Plenty of time. This is the clean version of this. After this, we're going to take a break and do the Patreon one. So if people want to hear us get crazy, and I'll definitely crack a beer, you're welcome to one. Our selections are, there's one can of Guinness. We've got... three cans of Troganator.
Oh, that'll be mine.
100%. Okay, go. You like that? Yeah, I'll have one too. And then the assorted, like, I think there's some Tullamore Dew and then just gin.
That's a little strong for one in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But yeah, for those of you, you should join the Patreon because I'm currently, as you can see, caffeinated and bouncing.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to getting extremely weird and fun in the other version.
Yeah.
I'm holding it in so hard. I'm on that. But I feel like I've been dominating this conversation.
No, that's why you're here. Tell us.
I want to talk about the yin real quick.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, hi.
I just want to take a break off me and let you talk for a bit because I had a question for you.
What's up?
So how okay, I have a lot of questions. It's a podcast. How many years have you been doing automotive?
Automotive since I started school when I was 16, and then I started working in the industry when I was 18. I started as a porter for a dealership that was local in me for like 4.5 years. I stayed like that.
What is a porter? What is that?
A porter is essentially the person who checks in the vehicle when it arrives for service.
Oh, you're the guy behind the computer.
No, like, so that's the advisor. The advisor is the one who's going to sell you the work. The porter is the one who, like, the car comes in, they write down the mileage, they take pictures, they put in the floor mats, and they park it in the back.
Okay, I got you. They're the ones who sort of do all that nice little prep work, and you know, whenever you get it back, you can, like, you take out the paper mats and just, you know, the tag. And
that was my job title, but I did a lot more than that. I wore a lot of hats at that that job. I did swaps, I did oil changes, I worked on the cars,
so
delivered parts.
So it was like a great way to train and just basically start your career off. It was just like you they didn't like slowly introduce you. You just got to get your hands into it fully.
I was the only one there, so if they needed something done, they just asked me to do it. And
oh, they had no other option.
Yeah, kind of. Pretty much. Then I worked for an unspecified EV brand for a little bit because the NDA is still active. And now I'm a parts counterman, which is great.
All right, because the thing that I want to talk about most that made me extremely interested, that I want to latch on to, was a conversation I had a bit of a while ago, which was mechanics going from, you know, your standard internal combustion engine to an EV. The conversation was people losing their ability to wrench on their own cars, because it feels like if I bought an EV, you know, I wouldn't be able to, you know, change my air filters. I wouldn't be able to change my own spark plugs. It would go from somebody with a wrench to somebody with a laptop.
In certain ways, yes. In other ways, absolutely not, because it is still a car at the end of the day.
Right.
While getting parts is going to be the biggest difficulty, these companies are clamping down on making it available for you to work on your own car, but it's still a car. I did more suspension work at my time with the EV brand than I did working anything else onto the car.
Interesting. So we're almost approaching like a John Deere level of right to repair.
Yep.
That's kind of scary to me, I will say, as somebody who would like an EV but has literally lived in nothing but apartment complexes with no hope of chargers. Just never been an option.
I'm in the same boat. That's why I bought a mild hybrid, because I still get the benefit of the gas mileage, but I don't have to deal with all the headaches of charging and all that.
Right. And I feel like that's a very good, I feel like that's why, and this is just my opinion, that's why
mild hybrid is my favorite sex move on Sunday afternoons.
He's back. We're ramping up.
I know.
I feel like that's why it took off as like a, the millennial mid-ground was hybrids.
I come in a turkey baster so I can bust in you twice.
The millennial mid-ground sounds like a three-person something or other. I don't know. Is it just like two
millennial mid-ground?
Two older guys and like a 32-year-old in the middle? I don't know.
It's called getting cream pie on the same day you've been fired from your retail job.
Oh, my God.
This is not the Patreon version?
No, believe it or not, it's not. No, I still have my pants on, so clearly not.
I'm going to chime in real quick here. We got a bunch of questions from the chat asking whose fursuit head that is.
That would be mine.
Yep.
That's all I'm going to say.
There you go.
I'll have to put remotes on there on a future live stream.
Yeah. But
I thought about bringing Victor, but then I was in such a rush to leave. I was like, oops, forgot.
I will say shout out Unleashed Studios. They did a fantastic job. Thank you.
Yeah, very nice.
But I really hate that you have that NDA, because just hearing suspension issue, I'm just like...
Well, I could say specifically what the suspension issue is. I just can't go into other specifics, like about the brand or, you know, what they name some of their systems, but...
I'm sure.
The thing with EVs is because they have instant torque, like right away, right off the lot, they go through tires really quickly, and they go through bushings, rubber bushings, very quickly.
Yeah, IKEA, those tires, I'm on my second pair, and I'm already looking... Because when I want to go, I want to go now.
Mm-hmm.
And also because the car is over 4,000 pounds and can accelerate so hard, I think I need like Z-rated tires or something like that. So they're expensive tires. They're softer. They're a softer compound, which means they wear more.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm shoving almost 300 foot-pounds of torque at them all the time because it's so addictive.
How many miles do you get out of those tires?
I wore the original set down in about, I want to 30,000.
That's impressive, actually.
That's not bad.
That doesn't sound bad.
That's impressive. Compared to what I've seen, that's
about
quite
what I get
impressive.
On my regular car.
But you also keep up with like your tire rotations and stuff like that, correct?
Yes.
It's like medicine. Preventative maintenance is better than a...
I don't get a spare tire in that car, so, and I don't have any jack stands. I should have jack stands. So last time I had the tires rotated, it was just, while it's up on the lift.
Right.
The problem that I see, though, is that we had a lot of customers who would come in and they had, you know, they bought the car new, they drove it, and the car is usually supposed to let you know when you're due for a service. A lot of times it doesn't. and they wouldn't know that they needed a tire rotation. And then suddenly I'm selling you, you know, four sets of tires because you got court showing.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's because, you know, you didn't do your alignments every 2 years. You didn't get your tire rotation. So now I'm selling you $2,000 worth of tires.
Yeah.
Out of pop because, you know, it takes these special tires that have foam on the inside. That's another fun thing. They lose balance very quickly because the foam on the inside will detach and then bunch up in one area. And,
and
why is my car vibrating?
What vehicle?
Unspecified EV brand.
The NDA is still
on. I have an NDA on the brand that I worked for.
Nah, I will say I know about NDAs and all that. I've done VIP surgeries before that I cannot speak about, unfortunately. Yeah. But let me say that... quick digression, because I just want to mention one.
When you say VIP surgery, do you mean like a celebrity?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, celebrities. One thing that I got a really good perspective on, because I wanted to lean into this going back into car maintenance, is just like information, misinformation on the internet regarding like what I should do. Like, is this too early? Should I hold off on this? Like, I asked three different people, you know, my car just hit 60,000 miles and it's got a CVT in it. And I'm like, should I do a drain and fill? Cause you know, yes or no. And I obviously did it. You know, it was the last maintenance I did it with the oil change and everything else. Trust me, after my Ford Fusion's transmission blew up,
Ford moment,
very much so. After that happened, I'm like, I'm going to be unbelievably diligent about the maintenance on this one. But even on the Ford, even if I was a little lax, it was just like, oops, 1% past maintenance, now it's broken. But the reason I wanted to bring up the celebrity thing that I can't talk about is like, I was seeing so much speculation and so much misinformation and just people who claim they're experts on the situation on the internet, like on Twitter, on Reddit, on even on YouTube, you know, speculating on this. And I'm sitting here just being like, I'm one of six people that were in an OR that actually knows the truth. And every single one of you is wrong. Wildly wrong.
I could hear the Reddit in your voice when you said that. Every single one of you.
That was not the Reddit. That was the rage. That was the rage. Just people's confidence. But I feel like that's almost something that goes into maintenance and stuff with vehicles is people just get this overwhelming torrent of misinformation and overinformation. Mm-hmm. And they don't. People don't have what they think as a trusted source. Now, I don't work in the auto industry. I'm speaking of one of those people who were overly cautious about, you know, what I should be doing. And what do you say is the best resource for getting the best information?
Cause... me. Because I'll tell it to you straight. But
oh, don't worry. We'll post your at the bottom in
can
your
you just tell it to
and
me
you can
again,
get a
please.
Million oh, weird no. DMs. We can get a million weird DMs. Everybody hit him up if you have a car question.
Really, it's I would say the best way to gain knowledge in the automotive field, if you want to gain knowledge, is gain it from multiple different sources. Because if you have a constant throughout those sources, then that's going to be the most known thing or the most like common thing that's going to be true. Because if you're going to hear misinformation from one person to another, but mm-hmm. one thing is going to remain the same, then that one thing must be true because everyone is saying it.
So just look for that one through line that goes from start to finish, the one thing that everybody says.
Because anyone who's taken an ASC certification test, you'll know Tech A and Tech B. Tech B is always wrong. but you'll always go to one person who has knowledge in the industry or just in that field, and they're going to give you a fact and an opinion. And then you're going to meet another person, and they're going to give you another fact and an opinion. You just got to find the facts in between the opinions.
It's actually a really good way to put it. Like, where is the truth inside of that?
Exactly.
All right.
Because someone could ask me, like, do you think I should get my spark plugs done every 40,000 miles? And I say, it's best to do it at 40,000 just because, you know, you never know. But another person will say, you don't need to do it. You don't need to do it till 100K. These are good spark plugs. Those are going to be varying opinions.
Yeah, but the threads... they're going to become one with the head.
Right. And that's why I say do them at 40,000 to play safe.
Yeah. I should be checking when the last time mine were done because I bought mine at, I think, 42,000. Anyway.
Mm.
But, yeah, my car knowledge is kind of sort of like base level. Like, can I change my own oil? Yes. Can I do a spark plug? Yes. But like replacing suspension and bushings and like that advanced stuff, I would be terrified to do it.
I would say that's easier than most engine stuff is suspension stuff. You could do it in your driveway if you have
Sway bars, no problem.
Yeah.
Spring compressors though, that's press do that. Yeah.
That pressing bushings, pressing bearings.
Yeah.
Unless you have like a built like one that's like already attached to the hub, yeah. I would say that you could do
rear hub bearings. That's just taking four bolts and you need a sledgehammer because sometimes I remember when I had to do my rear hub bearings on my Toyota Echo, I needed a 5-pound sledge, take all the bolts out and then just start wailing on the old one until it finally let go.
Yep.
Yeah,
good torch and a hammer will get you very far.
Oh yeah.
It can't be stuck if it's liquid. It's Miller time. Somebody give me a Miller High Life. I need the champagne of beers. I haven't eaten a vegetable since the Jimmy Carter administration. My colon is filled with driveway gravel, and I'm pretty sure my son's gay because he said thank you one time. My name's Geraldine. I'm from Boyertown, Pennsylvania. My ass is three colors. I have four wounds on my lower back that don't heal, but, you know, I just put Gorilla Tape on there. That's just good enough for me. Good enough for my deck. Good enough for my back.
Geraldine sounds
I'm
like
Geraldine.
Her. Geraldine's cankles are forklift certified.
I smoke Marlboro Reds and I cut the filters off of them. I've got the same Hams can from 7 years ago. I just empty it out. It just works. That's good enough. All these fancy new beers. Whatever happened to Tree Vodka? I saw my son. He was drinking a 40, and I was afraid for him. Whatever happened to good old Yingling from Pottstown?
Pottstown?
It's Pottsville, you commie. I miss those little grenade bottles. I used to throw them at people who didn't look like me, and that includes my wife. I drive 1988 Ford LTD. No, I drive a Chevy Celebrity, because they know I walk into Tommy M&S, chili and beans, and they know my order every single time. I walk through the woods and pick up brass. I reload it myself. They say you can't call Jack Rich Heating Supply and use the fuel oil in vehicles, but I have like 8 sieves, so I can put them in my Ford Outtomb with the IDI. It just runs fine on fuel oil.
My nephew came to my house saying, I bought a vintage truck. So excited. Showed up in a Toyota. I wrote him out of the will. You're not getting my Jimmy Buffett record collection.
My son showed up once. He said he bought a vintage truck, bought a Nissan D21 hard body. So I reported him to ICE. And then... I swear to God, these DEI things are going to be the death of this country. Whatever happened to people punching each other in the taint down in Ocean City? I like my gays like I like my immigrants in cages.
I miss small pickups.
I'm Geraldine. This is not the Patreon. It's going to get worse.
Oh, God, I can't wait.
How's the chat doing?
We actually just had a... sponsored question, whatever.
Yes.
You call them.
Oh, sure.
So Stereotypo asks, how do we encourage people to tinker/wrench and otherwise learn about their belongings/technology, especially in the face of planned obsolescence?
Void warranty.
Buy a car that has an R title. Like if you have some money to burn, I want to buy a project car and I got, say, $2,000. You can still, car prices are coming down. you can buy cars with our titles, like salvage titles, our titles, around $2,000. And there, the bloom's off the rose with something like that. The car has already been written off.
Right.
It's been wrecked in some way, but now it's safe enough to be back on the road. You can buy that and just start learning how to fix stuff and not have to worry that, oh, I'm going to break a perfectly good car because it's not a perfectly good car anymore.
I feel like that's what's holding a lot of people back is, you know, they want to do their own spark plugs or, you know, change a cabin air filter, but because they absolutely must have that car for their job.
Yes.
If they break something, well, now you're even more money in the hole and you can't work and you can't make money. So there's absolutely this, you know, I don't have a term for it, occupational hesitancy for like wrenching on their own ride because God forbid you break something catastrophic or you put it back together incorrectly and break everything.
Yeah.
Then you are really SOL.
Yeah. Like, Muzzy was talking about wanting his first project car. And the thing was, he's in that weird position where the car he drives is perfect because he has a Corolla. It's you're not going to do any better, man. This is the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything you buy to wrench will be worse. You can buy something that's more interesting, but it's going to be worse. And so probably, like, for someone like him, and I'm just using Muzzy as an example.
Sure.
To just buy any old, let's say, I mean, we could say Subaru, but maybe like some B-body that has an R title that maybe has its, were B-bodies body on frame? B-body Chevys?
That I don't know. We're outside my area of expertise. Yeah.
Something like that.
Kurt would know.
Yeah, Kurt would know. Yeah. Or find an R title Panther body. Everybody likes those.
Oh, you can find them anywhere.
Yeah. Yep. Just start with that and just learn to do the basic things because you can get to all the spark plugs. It's not a transverse engine. Mm-hmm. It's a Ford 8.8 rear end. They made more of those than Maruchan made noodles. The Panther body has been in production. Well, like the modern one, we're talking like mid-90s to mid-2000s and just tons of fleet vehicles. That's a perfectly good, and if you wreck it, no one will shed a tear.
Right.
Eventually, people will within our lifetimes. We're
far away from that.
Yeah, we still have way too many to go through. That my recommendation though is that if, like, say you're young, like you before you even have your license, first of all, do your homework. second of all, if you find, say, a lawnmower on the side of the road that says free, grab it and take it apart. Learn how take it apart and put it back together. See if you can get it running.
That is such a good idea. Some people are afraid to turn the wrench. Specifically, there's no shame in starting with righty-tighty and just learning that, hey, take one of these bolts, start tightening it, and keep tightening it until suddenly it gets loose again. And now you know what it feels like to strip something out. So it doesn't happen when, you're trying to put, say you needed to clean your throttle body and you strip one of those bolts. Oh, now you have a vacuum leak. Now your car will never run right.
Right.
Unless you're going to J&B weld that motherfucker back on there. So,
J&B Weld, I am no longer asking of adhesives.
Yeah.
You will get put back together.
Yeah. J&B Weld is like praying to God. Like, we're at this point. You better work. Or else I'm calling a scrapyard.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I just need to get to the store, please. Hold together.
Yeah.
Stereotypo also said, I've learned to work on my bicycle at a community bike repair co-op. And then also, I wish we had that for cars. That's a good idea. That's pretty cool.
They did have one of those.
They used to have, they were called maker spaces. And I know some maker spaces had like mechanic shops in them where you could take your car in there and work on them. I don't know if that's still a thing anymore. That was kind of like a mid-2000s thing.
It's an insurance quagmire because we're talking about what if a car falls off the jack or falls off something? That's
Who's at fault? Liability is going to be the whole
thing. Why I can't work on my car at my job. I'm allowed to, like, you know, take it in, vacuum it, check tire pressure, but I can't put it up on the lift because I'm not covered under the insurance to work on cars. I'm only allowed to sell parts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They also said, I tried to buy a gas range recently and the person was uncomfortable turning the safety valve off, like turning a valve 90 degrees, a device made to be turned.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it might blow up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
What if we mess it up?
It's almost like they're waiting for somebody else to, like a professional to come in and tell them and like give them permission to do it. Like,
my
this friends, is fine.
Yeah, my friend's mom was like that every time we had a cookout at their house because she wanted to cook, but the grill, you know, the barbecue grill, the little click lighter, and they always break.
Yeah.
All those self-lighters, they break. Well, fine. Just get your... get your lighter, stick it in there, or a match. And she would wring her hands and go hide inside when it came time to do this. Like, you're going to blow up the neighborhood.
Sounds like my aunt.
Yeah. 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 So what made her happy was if you lit a match and, like, you're doing a layup far away. And
across
like, this
the deck.
Isn't working. The match is going out. And I'm like... if you just, there are holes down at the bottom of the grill, just stick it right next to the thing and go click, it'll light. It was like, no, you're too close to the canister.
Oh my God, it's like that, you know, that boomer fear of just don't touch it, you're going to
break
it. They're going to break it.
But you can't learn anything without breaking it first.
It's like, yeah, you know, you're trying to fix your, you know, boomer parents' computer. You pull it up and, what's all this? What's
down,
the command line?
Slow down, you're going too fast.
You're hacking the government. No, I'm deleting system 32.
Yeah.
You're no longer allowed anymore. You're done.
Yeah, computer privileges have been revoked. But to go back to the question, it was, yeah, it just sounds like people are just terrified of just making any mistakes, the nervous Nellies, or like I said, they just want somebody to... There are precious few places, I feel like, whenever it comes to wrenching on cars, where you can get a sort of, like, guiding hand.
Yeah.
Like, somebody to show you the ropes, and literally YouTube.
Yeah.
Literally YouTube. The number of times I've Googled, my car, how fix this, and it pops up, and I'll watch, like, 2-3 videos, and I go out, and I'm like, oh, it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Or you just have your, like, phone or laptop propped up, and you just pause it, follow along on the steps, and by the end of it, congratulations, you did it and you learned something.
I was watching repair videos for the microwave we bought out there.
You really can't find anything. You can find literally anything.
Now, what I wanted was we need to replace the microwave out there. Mm-hmm. So I found almost the same model.
Facebook. Was that a 1970s original?
No.
I had
did they
ask.
Have microwaves in the 70s?
I think they did.
Yeah,
they
sure.
did. They just gave you like ultra radiation.
All
glowed green at night.
They had the magnetron or whatever watts. Inside the cooking container.
Tom Scott has a video on it about microwaves, but they were like a World War II era invention with stuff like that. And they were just like, huh, this could, what was it? The dude's like chocolate bar melted in his pocket.
That's mm-hmm. right. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
What I wanted from that Panasonic or whatever out there, I wanted it to not beep. I hate the beep. This is a no-beep household, Jerry. I just can't stand the beep. Don't like the beep. So I watched YouTube video, like trying to find out the little secret menu for the microwave to get to the beep turn-off menu. And I did it exactly the way they told me to. Didn't get the menu. Didn't get the beep. And it kept just doing that stupid. And it's the worst type of microwave beep that... beep, beep.
Oh, God.
Beep.
It's the one where you're trying.
Beep, beep, beep.
Like you're trying to reheat your dinner at 2 a.m. You miss the 1 second. You just woke up the whole house.
So I couldn't get to the menu. So I'm like, I'm done asking. And then I found someone else with that microwave who had the exact same problem. And he says, you got to open the thing up. And I'm like, fuck it. We're doing this. 11 p.m. at night. Out comes a screwdriver, taking the case off.
Choosing violence on the microwave.
And then going in there and finding that little diaphragm, find that little speaker, going in with the screwdriver. And it's like, fuck you, solder. And just popping the wire off the back of the diaphragm. And goes, you fucking beep all you want now. Now that thing's goddamn silent.
Yep.
I win.
Been there.
Microwave. Oh, you've done that?
Not with a microwave, but with one of those like cards that sing when you open it.
Yeah.
I got so frustrated with it one day, I ripped it open. I was like, ooh, solder.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate those so much. I told my parents, these are cute. These are funny. I cannot stand them. I don't need some, you know, 32K bit, like terrible little... yes, like the 90s microchip in there singing at me. I can read. Please stop buying these for me.
Oh, will we live long enough to hear they're not like us in a greeting card? And
Some dude at Hallmark has already pitched it and probably got shot down, but I can something.
Hallmark silence.
A niner.
I hope we don't see that.
That sounds like once they really start hiring Gen Z at Hallmark, we're going to hear that 100%.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Grandpa, remember when you were in your 30s and this song was popular? We got you a singing card. But it'll be like, you know, 2093, and you open it up and it's a hologram of Kendrick Lamar dancing around from the Super Bowl show. It's like, I remember this.
It's like
shit's pants.
This watershed moment of like multiple layers within a halftime show. I know I've said this before on. No, wait, I gotta save this for the after.
All right, let me jump in with a question then again from Stereotyper. What would be the worst music and card combination? Like a condolences
Helter
card?
Skelter. How about 100 cross 110th Street?
Hold on. Condolence card with Kickstart My Heart.
Yeah. How about I Don't Like Mondays?
I don't think I know that one.
That was a song about that. I can't say the word.
Is this also
YouTuber.
A Garfield licensed card?
No, this is like.
Oh, it should be.
How about Eve of Destruction?
St. Patrick's Day card with a cranberry zombie on it.
There you go.
Just found out that was an anti-IRA song. I was like, oh, interesting.
Get Well Soon card with the Smiths.
That's a good one.
There's got to be something with Jack White. My brain's going to Jack White. Seven Nation Army. I don't know. It's like Welcome Home from the War.
I know this is a come town, but it was so good when I went, they say my dick is small, dun, 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 and my balls are too small, too. Dun, 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 dun. Shout out to those guys. They had some banger bits.
That would be a card for condolences for your botched vasectomy. This is still the Safe for Work version, by the way.
Yeah.
Yep. Join the Patreon.
I need like one of those TED Talk timers, or just have my phone out.
Just have like one of those like bar matrix dot matrix clocks like they have in the fancy football recording studio.
Yeah. Last week, what was last weekend? Oh,
I'm still getting Drain's birthday party. Like,
I guess,
watching my dick. Is that
I miss Mateo Lane in Philly, or I'm going to miss it. Maybe he's this Saturday. Yeah, I think he's this Saturday. Fuck.
I haven't been to. I'll tell you what. For this is how you know I'm getting older. Mm. I used to go to like a different show every day, every weekend. You know, I lived in Pittsburgh on the South Side, so you had like Smiling Moose, and then you had Mr. Smalls up in.
Something.
Millvale.
Millvale.
And I can't believe I forgot that because, you know, Drylog and Strange Roots Breweries are there. And they have, by the way, if you're ever in Pittsburgh, hit up the Attic record store.
Yeah.
They have a basement and upstairs, a back room, and then a warehouse across the street literally filled with records. If there's a band have heard of once, 10 years ago, they have it. But I just realized I haven't gone to many shows recently in Philly, which is a shame because there's so many more venues.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are a lot more venues, but when I moved here, this is back in 2022, every single punk band decided, just West Coast and Europe. They basically literally told us to fuck off out here, and I was so mad because I was ready to see, you know, Pennywise, NoFX, Bad Cop, Bad Cop, and they just never came here, and I feel like I almost dropped off. But I got to ask, when was the last show you actually went to, like any live show, any music whatsoever?
Music,
yeah, like a concert or something like that.
The last actual show was just a stand-up, and that was Ian Fidance at Punchline, which is right next to Brooklyn Bowl, which is near the casino, which is kind of near the Fillmore.
Oh, the Rivers Casino. Okay.
That
took me a second.
Last concert, I can't remember. Oh, is it Lackey Doley is coming to Philly? He's this funk band who plays like beats the hell out of this Hammond like organ, and plays like kind of like funk staples. And he's coming all the way from Australia, but I think it's the same night as Uproar. It's like, oh, well.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And that is the one thing with furries is, you know, you got to plan things 3-4 months in advance because you hear about something, it's like, well, between then and now, I've got 7 conventions, and I'm going to be broke by the end of it, so I don't think that's happening.
Yeah. My next convention is going to be Furrydelphia. I have no plans to go anywhere else because priority one is getting this podcast up and running, and then priority two is paying off the house and getting enough Patreon content that it's going, and also probably getting more interviews with like people within the fandom. I mean, for the free one, or for the Patreon episode, which you should join the Patreon, because part two of this is going to feature Pulse. Our cameras are going to be off, but it's going to be audio only. Possibly, usually because in the future, I think I can do cameras for, like, the reason we're doing cameras is obviously it's YouTube. Patreon allows hosting, but doesn't give you a lot of storage on Patreon for them to host the videos.
Okay.
And I've been seeing people use like,
I'm fairly certain Patreon does not host videos. I think you have to put a link in.
They do. I've done it. I get 100 gigs of storage for free on Patreon.
What?
Yeah, I've uploaded whole episodes directly to Patreon.
Oh, you can upload. Yeah, you can upload, but they don't stream. Like, you can't play it.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That's
what
I meant. Yeah, because I upload stuff all the time. You just attach it to the post. Yeah.
But I think.
No, you're right. Eventually, you hit some kind of a storage limit.
Yeah, I know a Night Druth Animations. Yeah. He uses just Mega Upload, Mega NZ.
Yeah, I mean, and I have Dropbox as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm trying to think how. Because
gay sex.
Gay sex. No, I have a buddy of mine up.
How much cheese of this? Someone's got to take this cheese away from me.
I'm going to not shit
all night.
I'll help you out here. I'll help you out here.
In your pocket for a minute. Save the cheese for later.
Safety. Yes, pocket cheese.
Pocket cheese.
I had 3 protein shakes yesterday because I just kept getting hungry. Yeah, so my routine is getting a protein shake in the morning and then immediately going to the gym. And then I'll work out and I'll come back and I'll just have a King Dionysus lunch. But yesterday I had bagels and lox for lunch and then held over because Matt was coming over and was just going to make udon. And he did that. And I had diarrhea that was like a super soaker filled with melted Tootsie Rolls. And it was just all at once. It was like the nastiest diarrhea, and then I wipe clean with one wipe. It was bizarre.
I had that the other day.
Yeah.
When I woke up hungover, I have morning after beer shits.
Oh.
And just blow up the bathroom, and I tell my housemates, I'm just like, use the upstairs one. I use the downstairs one for a reason.
Yeah.
Get it all cleaned out, one wipe. I'm like, oh,
damn.
I guess I'm done. I guess I'll wash my hands and go about my day.
Yeah.
Just get it out of your system early. I think it's the frightening amount of coffee that I drink, like, roughly nearly 40 ounces a day sometimes.
Oh, wow.
Like a 40 of coffee. But
damn.
Listen, you're talking to somebody who experiments in the kitchen and tries like new interesting like dishes and recipes and creations. By the way, anybody keeping score, that was time for how long it took for me to start talking about cooking. That was time.
You've almost made it an hour.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Somebody just lost a bet. But considering that I will just go out, and one of my favorite things to do is to go to like Wegmans, Giant, Aldi, well, maybe not Aldi, but Wegmans, Giant, wherever, grab something new in like the produce section or somewhere, something I've never used before, and just figure out how to cook it.
Mm-hmm.
I fuck it up so many times, but I still have to try it to see what I fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing like damage over time to my intestines. Mm-hmm. You can just hear the like poison tick sound
every
30 seconds after what I'm putting in my body, because I'm right now cooking a ton of French cuisine. So you've got oceans of butter and heavy cream and just all this incredibly rich stuff. And I'm trying to balance out with vegetables, but it's not really working.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I can't use a ton of cream, I'm just like, well, I want to make it my way that I like, which is super spicy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm taking burn damage as well. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Right now, my I am kind of resting my gut a little bit. A beer, you know, later isn't going to hurt it, but I had to take a break because I was putting so much just really, really rich and just fatty stuff in my guts. And I'm like, oh, it's not happy with me.
Yeah.
It's taking a toll on my body, and I also, to be fair, you mentioned having your very, very gym-centric cuisine. I haven't been to the gym in too damn long. That's the other problem. So right now, I'm kind of just thinking about what I can make at home that's not going to make my insides my outsides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what sort of goals do you have for the gym?
So for the gym,
what do you want to accomplish?
I mean, same thing every time. I want to keep my weight under control. I think that's always been my goal. Okay. I've always been kind of lanky, and even whenever I was lucky enough to have like a very, very good home gym, creatine, you know, all the nice little supplements, I never really got big. I never really got big muscles. I never really, you know, developed that kind of mass. The only time I had really good muscles was the summer I was doing landscaping. So I was doing like tons and tons of yard work. I was carrying those humongous bags of like Milorganite and fertilizer, like four at a time, one, you know, two over each shoulder, and I had like this huge six pack.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, ended up going back to school and college and just lost all of it. Joined the frat house, and it was just like, do I want gym or do I want beer?
But yeah.
Yeah, the goal has always been to keep the weight under control, you know, keep it nice and slim and trim, and just have more energy. Because for those of you who have never, like, worked in a kitchen before or done, like, really intense cooking, it does beat up your body being on your feet for, like, just this last weekend, I was in the kitchen for 9.5 hours straight, just what? Experimenting, testing, practicing, working. It's my passion. But I sat down and I was like, I can't get up off the couch.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in so much pain. I'd been looking down, you know, chopping and working on the stove for so long. I had this horrible pain in my back, and I'm like, I need to go to Planet Fitness or something. Anything. Yeah. I have a Law Fitness next to me. But, yeah, the goal is weight under control, have more energy. And, you know, if I get big pecs and, you know, some extra biceps, I'm sure people that follow me on Blue Sky would love that.
Yeah. So what do you think he needs, Ted? He wants to start getting his weight under control.
Well, I guess the thing that I always say is it's the food. You know, there's a reason it's diet. And
I'm in trouble already.
Not just exercise. Yeah.
I'm so screwed off.
So
step
all
one.
That butter. I'm sorry. I'm afraid it's terminal.
Yeah.
No, that's like the main thing. It's like, yeah,
I've heard that
if you want to recomp your body, you work out. But if you want to lose weight, it's just, it's all diet.
You can't outlift a bad diet is what I've been told multiple times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like when Lance dropped, what did he drop? Like 60 pounds or something like that? It was just soda.
Yep.
Yep. I was going to say that. Like that is the number one thing. Like if you're trying to lose weight, do you drink soda? Do you drink fruit juice?
Yeah.
Stop.
Huge
Stop.
Dietary
that's,
changes.
That's
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the whole deal with sugar is that your body goes, oh, wonderful. I don't have to spend any energy to store this energy.
Right.
And it just goes, becomes, it just turns into fat immediately. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because you're, yeah. Hence, I guess there's no sugar for this coffee, but.
No.
Now, I have my treats, my editing treats. Now, I think M&Ms are the most basic snack in the world. I don't like M&Ms. All M&Ms I hate. However, you take them, Johns, and you mix them with cookie dough, and you make a cookie, and there's M&Ms in it, bro. Suddenly, this thing, like, transformation fetish, and I eat those things, and I think about urethral sounding with someone else's dick, and it's like, oh my gosh, that and the coffee, it just hits so hard. Brownies too. I mean, something about something that's already unhealthy, and then you just add that sparkle to it. First of all, fuck sprinkles. They have no taste.
I just thought about what you would get if you looked up cookie on E621, but it's just going to be icky cookie the entire time. It's just going to be just a group. Anyway.
you make brownies, but then you just double down with the little chocolate morsel, chocolate chunks.
Chocolate chunks
in the brownie.
Then let's go.
Fuck yes.
There we go. Now we're talking.
Oh, I just need...
That is it. Chocolate is like my weakness.
Yeah.
Like, that is my favorite vice. Like, shouldn't be eating this, but I do. Well, dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you get like the triple chocolate cookies where it's like a chocolate cookie with chocolate chips in it.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Gone. I just
ice cream for me. Oh,
yeah.
ice cream all day.
Yeah.
Because like regular sweets will like hurt my teeth because, of course, like a terrible, terrible diet here. But if I were to go for a certain dessert, it would always be ice cream because it's like the least. It feels like the least harmful.
What's your go-to ice cream flavor?
Chocolate.
Just plain chocolate?
Really?
Usually. I'm a very simple person.
Okay.
Don't diss the chocolate,
man. I'm not, like, I know we just got done talking about, like, chocolate chunks, but, like, chocolate ice cream is, like, every...
It's the NPC of ice cream.
It's a good launching off point.
Every single spoonful is the same. Like, I get, give me
like cookie
ice
dough,
cream.
Where you like, yeah, get a different texture. Crap. Like, yeah. It might be like none, and then you just get like the biggest.
That's why, like,
I didn't bring spare underwear.
Chocolate and peanut butter.
Yeah.
Because that's my other flavor. Like, peanut butter, chocolate, peanut butter combination. Like, oh,
I like
so
the
good.
Peanut M&M's. Those are really good.
Peanut butter is fantastic.
Peanut M&M's, I get them, but there's only two, in my mind, there's only two ways to eat them. One, you just eat them and enjoy the crunch. Or two, the nom, nom, nom. Where, like,
you
I am going to strip
down.
Mine, this thing, in my mouth, all the way down
get
to the peanut.
Get it off the top. Get off the roof of your mouth.
Yeah. And then, And then there's that. But
we're making Chat hungry, apparently.
Chat's hungry.
I can ruin that for you really quickly, talking about chocolate. Don't worry. I can screw that all up for you because we were talking about like bad vices and, you know, things you know, you're not supposed to have, but you do. Mine is obviously beer. I like beer more than spirits. And you're hearing chocolate. It's like, what's one of the craziest beers? And my brain went to Dogfish Head and their weirdest beer. It's the weirdest beer I've ever had. Choc lobster. You ever had chocolate on a lobster and put it in a beer form?
I can't say I've ever thought about that.
Chocolate and lobster flavor.
Yep. It was called Choc lobster.
Yeah.
Yep, and I had it at the Acacia Bar in Pittsburgh on the south side. I had it once.
Mm-hmm.
Spent the rest of my life looking for it. It was one of the best beers I've ever had.
There is a little boutique bar.
I don't know what wizard they have in the brewery, but they fucking hashed them together.
There's a little place called Blue Dog up the road from the Weiss, and they have a boutique selection there for takeout. They do have Dogfish 120 there for $10 a bottle.
I've got plenty of those at home. I like collecting like the old rare weird ones that were just like, we dug this out of King Midas's asshole in his tomb. And then it becomes one of their best selling ones.
This is Maria. We made this beer from fermenting Maria Antoinette's afterbirth.
Bring Cleopatra. We found remnants of her pubic hair and distilled it.
And it's just the cracked out stuff like that. Yeah. But
we found a Mylar balloon filled with Eleanor Roosevelt's queefs. Now we made an IPA. You've got nothing to fear but
Churchill's jarred farts. held in the British Museum.
Yeah. I think that's a podcast.
We're ending that's on good. Churchill's farts.
No Churchill's farts.
Yep. Hope I ruined your appetite, guys.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us for Regular Friends. Hope we kept you company today on Saturday. Please subscribe to our Patreon. The part two, which we'll be recording shortly and uploading later today on our Patreon, will be the extra dirty version of it. Pulsar will be joining us for the a conversation I've been waiting to have with him for
at least
2 years.
This is going to be just wait to hear.
We're going
to
get some drinks and have fun. So I'm Brian.
I'm Jack.
I'm Victor.
I'm Pulsar.
We're your regular friends. Have a good day.
All right. Bye.